Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today I'll be your guide in John chapter 16, where Jesus attempts to comfort the 12 disciples after giving them some bad news. Have you ever had someone tell you, "I would have told you what I was going through, but I didn't want to bum you out. I didn't want to get you down." Sometimes we go to others with what's troubling us only to find ourselves comforting them instead. This is the dilemma that Jesus faces with the disciples in John chapter 16 today. Jesus has been telling the disciples the plan to leave this world, the plan to go back to the Father, the plan to hand the mission over to them, the plan to send His Holy Spirit. But He's also been telling them He plans to leave them to make all this possible. And this has gotten them down. After continuing to tell them they will be hated by the world after He's gone, Jesus says in verse 4, "I've told you this so that when your time comes, you'll remember I warned you about them. I did not tell you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to Him who sent me. None of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you're filled with grief because I've said these things. I've told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember." Remember what? Well, that hard times were ahead. The disciples were often on a need-to-know basis with Jesus. He didn't tell them everything, but there were some things they needed to know. He has to talk about going away. He has to tell them rough times are going to come in the next 48 hours. But Jesus doesn't want to leave them grieving His leaving. So He does what we all do in a sucky situation. He tells them in verse 7 to look on the bright side. "But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." So somehow the Holy Spirit's presence is going to be better than Jesus being with them? It's going to be better for them? How can that be? Jesus spends the majority of this chapter explaining that very thing. The presence and power of the Holy Spirit is the silver lining around the dark clouds of Jesus' departure. Jesus gives some of the benefits of His going and the Spirit's coming in verse 12. Let's hear what He has to say. "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own. He will only speak what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, because it is from Me that He will receive what He makes known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why He said the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you." When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, Jesus said. Jesus goes, but the Spirit comes in His place. In those verses were a list of things that give a glimpse into how the Holy Spirit's coming is better. Better despite Jesus' leaving. First, the Father passes down what He knows to the Son, and the Son passes it to the Spirit. And lastly, the Spirit passes what the Father knows through Jesus to us. So let's recap that again in reading the verses. Jesus receives what the Father gives to Him. In verse 15, "All that belongs to the Father is Mine." Lastly, we receive from the Holy Spirit what He receives from Jesus. "It is from Me He will receive what He'll make known to you." Verse 14. And lastly, in verse 15, "The Spirit will receive from Me, and He will make it known to you." Everything is passing through all three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to us. This is why it's good. We are going to be in direct contact with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. At that point, they only knew what it was to physically encounter Jesus. The Holy Spirit was with them, Jesus said earlier, but now He's going to be in them. And He's not coming alone. He's bringing the Father and the Son into our hearts as well. So now they're going to have this direct relationship with the Father himself. And he was going to listen to them when they asked him for anything. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. But what does it mean to ask in Jesus' name? That seems pretty important. Well, to ask in someone's name means to ask on their behalf. For example, if one of my daughters approaches me and says, Dad, I need $20. Well, that doesn't carry much authority or weight. I may even look at her quizzically and say, have you done your chores? What do you need it for? But if my daughter comes to me and says, Dad, Mom asked me to get $20 from you. My daughter asked, but she's asked in Mom's name, and it carries a bit more weight and authority. No questions asked. She gets that $20 because she asked on behalf of Mom. Jesus is saying that when we ask the Father for something, it's as if Jesus himself were asking. But the key in this passage is really that you have direct access to God. The Father is listening. He's waiting for you to ask the right things. This is another way that Jesus is going and the Spirit's coming is better. But in verse 16, Jesus really confuses them. In a little while, you'll see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. So they ask, what does he mean by going away and coming back? They hadn't seen the end of the movie yet, and Jesus doesn't want to give away any spoilers. Verse 19, Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you'll see me no more, and then after a while you will see me? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one can take away your joy. I don't know about you, but I find it very comforting that Jesus doesn't whitewash our pain, suffering, and grief. But here he tells the disciples, look, hard times are coming, and I know this is making you sad to hear that I'm going away. So now, Jesus has to comfort them. But that's just like him, isn't it? Always thinking of others before himself. And he is thinking of them. But have you ever wanted to have someone see a movie so bad, but you have to be so careful because you can't give away the spoilers? That's what Jesus is doing here. This will be your time of grief. Jesus is being plain with them. Hard times are ahead, but you're going to have to trust me. The problem is we don't know the ending any more than the disciples did here. And we easily get just as confused and disoriented. And Jesus doesn't want to give us all the spoilers in life before the story unfolds. But knowing the end of the story, Jesus continues, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Whatever's overcoming you at the moment, Jesus has already overcome, and one day it will be eradicated. But to discover exactly how, we'll have to read on and find out how the story ends here, and to live it out in our own lives. Until next time, I'll see you on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.